The problem with content businesses is that for so long, we just create. And there's this word that I hate that we use in blogging called monetize. And it's like, monetize just means you didn't think about how you were going to make money when you started this thing. It means you now have this thing that makes no money.
Yeah.
And you need to figure out how to somehow make money or you can't keep doing it. You know what I mean? And so all that shows is that you didn't actually start a business. You started some sort of audience growing hobby that you now want to try to make some money from. Hey there, I'm Preston Lee.
And I'm Clay Mosley.
And this is Freelance to Founder.
The journey from freelancing to running your own agency comes with its own unique set of challenges.
Challenges that Clay and I have both faced while building our own successful businesses. And on this show, we sit down with freelancers and agency builders like you for value-packed on-air coaching sessions with one focus:
taking your business from freelance to founder.
We'd love to have you join us on the air for an upcoming episode. To learn how to get your free coaching sessions like the guests you hear on our show, visit freelancetofounder.com and click on the microphone icon.
We are here and ready to help you take action in your business.
On this week's episode, we have a heart-to-heart chat with Rodney Little, a UX UI designer who wants to build an audience-first business. Rodney lives in Colorado, USA, and he's noticed there may be a gap in tourism offerings where he lives, a gap he might be able to fill with a helpful new website. But Rodney has been kicking this idea around in his mind for a whopping 5 years. So in this episode, Clay and I call him out. We dive into what's been holding him up and what it's really going to look like to build an audience-first business. It's a very personal conversation for me, since my business relies on an engaged audience, that's you, and I share some of my most helpful advice for anyone wanting to start a blog, a podcast, or something similar. And speaking of monetizing an audience, before we can dive into that conversation, I appreciate you sticking with us through this quick break from our sponsors. Whether you want to travel more or communicate better with international clients, you need to try Babbel. I've used Babbel's courses, and you can do the same in order to learn real-life conversation skills in a different language, order food, ask for directions, or speak to clients without having to use translation apps. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for our listeners at babbel.com/freelance. That's 60% off at babbel.com/freelance, spelled babbel.com/freelance. Rules and restrictions apply. When you wake up in the morning and check your phone, does it feel like this or like this? Because with Shopify, your morning can feel like this way more often. That's the sound of a sale being made on your new Shopify store. And while client payments may require weeks or months of work, you can start generating a semi-passive income to grow your business by setting up a Shopify store all of your own. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your latest designs on shirts or bags or adding something totally different to your business, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You can sell online, you can sell in person, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. With Shopify, you can set up your store in minutes and start selling immediately. And Shopify's award-winning support is there to help you as you go. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/freelance. That's all lowercase. That's shopify.com/freelance to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/freelance, or click the link in our show description and start waking up to this. Well, as always, I'm excited to be on the air today with our guest, Rodney Little. He's building a UX UI design business. We're excited to chat with him today. Welcome to the show, Rodney.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Also,
what's up, Rodney?
Hey.
On the air, there he is Clay Mosley from Dripify. Thank you for joining us today again. Clay, always a pleasure.
Always fun.
We like to start off these episodes just by learning a little bit more about your business, Rodney. You're building a UX UI business, freelancing primarily. Tell us kind of what your workday looks like, what kind of work you're doing, and where you're at with your business right now.
Sure. So this is it's my side gig, I guess you could say, my ever never ending side gig.
Love those.
Yes, that's the one reason I'm glad to be here, because I've been a fan of the show for years. I've done freelance web design, web development over the years, and I've been trying to focus more so on UX and UI issues.
And just really quickly, for the small fraction of people who maybe don't know what UX and UI stand for, mm-hmm. what's a quick description?
Sure. UX is user experience, and UI is user interface. So in the, put it in more simple terms, UX is kind of the overarching strategy of how to make services more user-friendly for users. And the user interface is when you're actually creating things in a browser or in an application, I should say. What are they interacting with in that software?
Oh, that's cool. So just for further clarification, are we talking about just software? Are we talking about websites or both?
Yeah, I kind of focus on both because I've done some work creating applications for mobile devices as well, and have used some technologies where I can use web technologies to create those applications for Android, iOS. So I try not to pigeonhole it just into web, even though that's the largest portion of work that I do. But mm-hmm. it can be applied, cool. and the principles apply across the board, even beyond just web and software.
And tell us why you said it was a never-ending side gig, or how long have you been doing it as a side hustle, and
sure.
is there a long-term strategy to the business, or is it mm-hmm. going to stay a side hustle?
Yeah, I say never-ending side gig because I've done freelance work under this company name since the late 90s. And several times I tried to make it my full-time endeavor, but just ran into some, you know, realities of, you know, you need to be more methodical in how you reach out to potential clients, bringing in steady clients and steady income. So that's another reason why I really enjoyed Millo, because that's some of the issues that I had always never cleared those hurdles. Long-term, yeah, I do have some ideas for like a service-based approach to do long-term. But I still do enjoy doing the freelance work because it's always nice helping people identify problems and helping them to properly categorize which problems should be solved at which time. So I don't think I ever want to give up 100% doing freelance work, but I do have some ideas for the future.
So this is the your side gig. Do you have like a full-time gig right now?
Yeah. So I'm actually a senior user experience designer for a major cable and internet provider. I've been doing UX design for the last 5 years.
Oh, cool.
Kind of was able to move out of kind of hybrid designer developer roles that I had been in most of my career and have shifted more to full-time UX work the past 5 years.
Cool. So you're in the same realm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just know that's like super common, right? Like, for people who work side gigs, that their full-time, you know, quote-unquote day job is completely different than what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as most listeners know, if you're new to the show, maybe you don't know this, but as many listeners know, we do send you a questionnaire before we chat with you to learn a little bit more about your business. And one of the questions we ask is to rank yourself on this freelancer to founder scale, freelancer being 1, founder being 10. You ranked yourself on the freelance currently on the freelancer to founder scale at a 1. So you mm-hmm. you identify as a complete freelancer. Can you tell us why you self-identified mm-hmm. that way?
Yeah. Currently in my business, Blackjack Productions, it's just myself. My wife does help me with some things as well. But for the most part, it's me doing the actual work. And I've been looking to improve things I have to put in place to make make way for more automation, and whether it's processes or collaborating with other creatives, so that it doesn't have to be me doing everything. So if I'm
yeah.
not available, the work can continue. So I'm still definitely not on the not on that pathway yet.
But you did say that in the next 6 to 12 months, you'd like to be more on that path. You ranked yourself at an aspiration of a 5 in the next 6 to 12 months, which is a nice leap for a 6 to 12 month time period, you know, going from completely working just for yourself by yourself to then maybe having a small team, some systems in place to begin to scale. That's, I think, a healthier and reasonable goal.
And some of the reasons I put that as a 5 is I spent the last year kind of reviewing things that I had tried in the past, you know, whether you're trying to build teams of other creatives, trying to put things in place, and saw where maybe there were some deficiencies in either the planning or the execution or communication of that initial attempt at building a team. And so moving forward, focusing on like that service-based business, I think there's some opportunities there. But from a freelance perspective, that's where I kind of, for me personally, an experience I've seen in the past, building the team and what is the overall goal? I mean, there's a lot of other remote teams that have been in the business for a long time. They're very mature. And while I could put effort back into that, building that team to, you know, be active in helping people solve their design problems as a freelance, you know, agency, like a remote agency, if you will, I think I see a better opportunity to create a service that you can still work with those creatives, but it's more of a focused effort that I think I would be better at doing. So that's kind of why I put that at a five
for I like
future
that.
Aspirations.
So what would be a dream scenario in 6-12 months? What would your business look like in a nutshell?
So in 6-12 months down the line, I would like to see my business looking like a publisher or a provider of a service that I'm trying to plan out for tourism. And so one of the services I've always had in the back of my mind was to highlight the local tourist areas. I don't want to say tourist attractions that would be appealing to people from other countries. I lived abroad in Japan for years, and I noticed that there was very little information for tourists from Japan, or not just Japan, other countries, to come to Colorado, you know, my home state. And if they did come to Colorado, it's like you would see, we went to Colorado, we went to Denver, and that's it. Not that there's anything wrong with just going to Denver or going to other parts of the U.S., but there's so many nice things here in Colorado that I've really appreciated since I came back here about 9 years ago. So kind of thinking of a service along those lines to be beneficial for local industry and businesses here in Colorado, but then also beneficial for the tourist industry abroad.
Hmm. I have to admit, I did not see that answer coming. I know you mentioned this on your survey.
Same.
But I'm trying to connect the dots. Maybe you can help us connect the dots, Rodney, between where you're at now as a freelancer doing UX and UI work to this business idea that seems to me not really related at all. Not that it's necessarily a bad idea, but I'm wondering if you can help us connect the dots a little bit between the two.
Yep. So over the years of helping people create websites or web applications, and as I moved out of the developer role into more of a strategic user experience, you know, service design strategy type of role, helping them to identify problems that they had in whatever service or website they were trying to launch. So helping them to identify their end customer and then helping them to put together a website or a web application that would meet the needs that they have.
So you're saying you'll essentially take those skills that you've developed and build your own website then that offers, you know, like you've said, tourism opportunities and that kind of thing.
Yes. And that's where I kind of, when I revisited this idea, I recognized that I hadn't done some of those things I was helping my clients with.
Well, that's what I was trying to identify was like, can, you know, if this really is the goal in 6-12 months, can, you know, what's the path that we can talk about on the show between your current freelancing and the tourism site? Do you feel like that's a 6-12 month sort of ambition that you have, or is that a long term?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think 6-12 months, even though I wanted to move towards doing some more of those things, getting the actual service launch in 6-12 months isn't actually probably something that would be possible.
So I just want to get some clarification too, because like, it sounds to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds to me you don't really want to grow your UI UX business that much. You want to more like change your focus to this other business. Is that correct?
I'll say I am not trying to make that be, say, 80% of what I'm doing. I'm hoping to make the UX UI be maybe 40% of what I'm doing, and then 60% for the, you know, the service, the tourism focus.
Okay.
It's starting to make a little more sense.
Yeah, thanks for helping me to think and think out loud.
Yeah, no, and that's what the show is about. Like, sometimes we haven't thought through all the little details of what it takes to run a business as opposed to be a freelancer. I'm seeing, what my big question is I see now how being a UX UI designer fits into this tourism idea. What I'm a little concerned about, if I can just be completely frank and honest with you, Rodney, is it feels like the UX UI experience only applies to the first portion of the business. Like, let me ask this question, and maybe that'll illustrate what I'm trying to get at. What do you see as the business model of the tourism website?
Good point. So I think for the tourism website, what I see as the basic business model is, and I don't want to say it's like a Yelp-like service, but basically a guidebook which highlights different activities that tourists can enjoy in this state. Here's our recommendations.
Yeah. I'm going to pause you there though, because I think you're explaining what the user will experience, right? Because you're a user experience guy, and that's great. However, the business model, the real question is, how are you going to make money from this business, right?
Yep. Thank you. So kind of, I based this off of work I did when I was in Japan.
Okay.
So I was working for an ad agency in Japan that put together a center for they call it the multi-language communication center. And so the business model was to come up with a monthly service that was simple for local businesses to partake of, almost like an insurance payment, you know, like, or almost like a subscription.
Yeah.
And so this monthly fee that they would pay is kind of what helps the business provide the service. So my idea is that the business would offer the service to local municipalities, you know, for a monthly fee or maybe a yearly fee. So that's where I see the monetization of this business on this end. And for the customers, I'm thinking it would be a free service.
So I'm very curious, Rodney. So have you put any feelers out there as far as like trying to validate this business idea?
Yeah. So I actually had some guests from Japan that came and visited us several years ago, and we took them river rafting in the western slope of Colorado.
But go ahead, Clay. Sorry.
I want to get down to the actual issue, and you said you had this idea for 5 years. Like, why has this idea not happened? And I don't know if that's what you were going to ask Preston, but like, it seems like this has just been an idea for 5 years. Like, why haven't you actually acted upon it? Let's take a deep dive and get to the actual source of why this hasn't happened yet.
Yep. So I think one reason is I allowed myself to use the excuse that I have a full-time job is one reason. I think another thing is I've allowed myself to kind of be held back by analysis paralysis. It's like, how much do I need to think about this before I actually put it into action? So I think it definitely has been on my part of my inaction on my part.
Here's what I was going to say, which is I think you continue to think about this like a UX UI person, not like the kind of person that runs a business.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I'm looking, while you're talking, I'm Googling and doing some research. And for example, there's Colorado.com.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're talking about Colorado tourism, there's an entire website commercially created, not by the Colorado state government, where people can come. And I'm sure that they're using your exact business model where companies pay to be featured as people search. You know, they probably work a lot in SEO. So that when people search things to do in Denver, Colorado, their website comes up, and then they solicit businesses to pay for advertising and featured placement on the website. So you have very real competition, which competition doesn't mean it's a bad idea necessarily.
Yeah,
you know, that's a good validator for an idea. But I think what I'm really understanding, and I say this out of love, and I say this out of a desire to help you succeed with this idea. But what I'm hearing over and over again in the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes that we've been talking is you keep referring to the project as a UX UI project. And so what the business itself is actually not a UX or UI business. The business itself is like business development, partnering with local companies, working with tourism companies, working even with the customers, the tourists. It's a content business.
Yep.
There's search engine optimization involved. There's social media involved. There's lots of things involved that we that haven't even like hit our radar in this conversation. And so my big fear is when you say,
that's a good point,
I haven't started it yet because I can't figure out which device it should show up, or how, you know, how it's going to show up on all the devices the right way. Like, that's a UX problem. The starting the business would actually be calling up, you know, Colorado Waffles, the store down the street, and saying, hey, in 6 months, we're launching a basic version of a site called, you know, visitcolorado.com or whatever.
Yep.
Would you be interested in a $50 featured placement for Colorado Waffles? And then if if you get enough sort of positive feedback on that, that's how that business, in my mind at least, that's how that kind of business starts, instead of how does it look on each device, which is a UX UI question.
Yep.
You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's H-Y-D-R-O-W. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description. Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I completely agree. Preston knows that I'm a big advocate for validating an idea and like basically trying to pre-sell it. And so like a business, just going off of Preston, what Preston said is, I would see if you can actually get someone to either give you money or say that they're going to give you money.
Right.
And then at that point,
then it's a business.
Yes. Yes. Then like, cause the UI, the UX stuff, that's just, I think that's just one tiny thing of the business. Just like what Preston was saying, like there's like,
and it'll come and it can get better.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be perfect out the gate.
That makes sense. And one thing that I think too is, and this is also why I'm still improving my viewpoint on, and I guess you could say scope of different services. The last 2 years I've been, you know, heavily involved in like service design and design thinking in my day job. And Clay, I appreciate your comment here about me mentioning the devices on is a UX UI matter and not necessarily.
That's Preston's comment.
Preston.
It's all good. We're a team.
One thing I do believe is that as a designer, we have to be able to zoom in and zoom out to different levels. And so from a service design perspective, getting that data, like you mentioned, and this is where I haven't properly put on the hat of a business owner to go and do the research on not just the customers, but like you say, the potential businesses, so that I can understand what how this service should work for the businesses that I'd be approaching to see who would be willing to buy this service. So I appreciate you guys mentioning that. It helps me to see I need to be more open-minded about things.
Sure thing.
And you guys' comments, I appreciate it. It's helped me to understand that I need to better be able to zoom in on either a particular level of detail for whether it's technology, but then zoom out to different levels that I need to be able to see it more holistically from a business perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we talked about this not too long ago with Spencer Blakelock on this show. We did an episode with him where he, you know, he's an animator and he wasn't sure exactly how to proceed with his business because he wanted to still do a lot of the animation work. He wanted to be involved in the creative side. We had a nice conversation about how do you balance being a CEO with or becoming a CEO versus, you know, still being involved in the creative work. And the truth is, this business, if you pursue this business, I don't actually see a lot of UX UI work in your future as the person running the business. Now, you could potentially hire that out, but I don't see, like Clay said, this is just a small part of the business. In my mind, the business has a lot more to do with advertising and content, which you may have to hire out to make the business really go.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a difficult part for you, Rodney, is like, let's just say like this business idea, like it actually starts running, right? I think that's going to be a very difficult thing is like, it's going to be very easy for you to focus on the UI UX perspective and those features. But I honestly, and again, I say this because I'm not a UI UX guy, but I honestly think that stuff comes after you actually get quite a bit of traffic on your site. I don't think it's as important at the beginning when you have virtually little traffic.
Yeah,
Preston, you
need a minimum viable product where you can. That it looks good enough, but not as perfect as your UX UI professional brain wants it to look. You know what I mean? Because then you'll spend the next 5 years trying to build the perfect thing, and then it could just flop on its face as a business. It'll look great, and it'll be easy to use, but it'll flop as a business because you didn't ahead of time go figure out who your customer is and what they need. And by the way, when we say customer, you've said customers and businesses. In this business model, the businesses are your customers. The visitors are actually your product, right? You're actually selling eyeballs of those visitors to the businesses who are your customers and they're paying advertising fees. So this is a classic content model where you would be creating a lot of content, you know, ranking hopefully for content in search as people search things to do in Colorado. And then as people show up, the businesses would be paying you for a slice of that attention.
Interesting. See, that's interesting that you brought. I appreciate you guys' viewpoint. Very cool for me to hear from folks that have actually built businesses and, you know, been successful with that. So I appreciate that.
Preston's right. Like, I think it comes down to content.
Yep. And I do appreciate, too, the comment about, like, the Colorado.com website, because that's one thing I had actually evaluated, you know, looking at what's out there right now. That's interesting. I think I had been focusing too much on the visitors as the customers when it actually, you know, I need to pivot who my focus is for the customer is actually the businesses or those municipalities.
Yeah. Yeah. The business model, right? You make your money. You don't make your money from your visitors. You make money from people who are who want to advertise to your visitors. And it's hard to do. That's why a content business is so hard because you have to constantly balance. I mean, my business is all about content. I have to constantly balance a reader or a listener versus a sponsor or an advertiser and what they each need. Because if you give too much attention to either side, then the other side doesn't like you very much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think you have to look at this in a couple different ways. One is I would almost start small. I would almost like, cause you're in Colorado Springs, right?
Yes.
So I would almost like start off with Colorado Springs and see how that goes and like go all in on that. And then if it's like super successful, then you could expand into a second market, you know, and then go from there. And then also something to think about too, because I honestly do think that this, like, there are, I haven't done the research, but I feel like there is, that there's a ton of websites that do what you're wanting to do. I think if you take like a different perspective on something, like, then I think it could be really successful, like, mate, like a lot quicker.
Yes. Very cool. I mean, thank you. This is amazing. That's why I was excited to join you guys for this coaching session today.
Good, man. I think if there's anything that I've taken away from this, it's mm-hmm. the need to focus on how the business model works, how you're actually going to make revenue, and how that ties into way more than just the UX UI stuff. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you feel like we ought to chat about? Questions that you have? We'd love to chat through like actual action we can take over the next 6 to 12 months together, that you can take action, we can follow up with, that would actually move you closer to achieving what you want to achieve.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of ask you, Preston, like, as you were putting together your business model for mm-hmm. Mellow,
yeah,
how did you make the shift from maybe focusing on, like you mentioned, for me, focusing on the wrong area to focusing on what you need to do for the actual business model? How difficult was that hurdle for you, and what were some things that you took to kind of jumpstart yourself into that process?
The first year that I made enough money that I actually called it a side hustle, it was more than, you know, a few hundred or a few thousand bucks. Like I think our first year we made, or my first year that I'm going to refer to here, we made something like $40,000. That year was the year that I decided that this blog that I had started as an experiment in college was about way more than just writing things. It was about way more than just creating content. It was actually about making money and being a business. And so the decisions that I made that year were all centered around that. I hired someone to help me contribute content or collect content from contributors. So I didn't have to be writing anymore. I didn't have to be blogging 3 times a week, because that actually wasn't how I made money. I didn't make money from writing. I made money from calling up sponsors and saying, hey, we reach freelancers and we reach solopreneurs and we reach side hustlers, and I noticed that you're trying to reach them too. Maybe we should partner, and here's some sponsorship options that we have. So I offloaded the non-revenue generating work that still had to get done, and then I focused on the revenue generating work. And that's when our big pivot really started.
So that's kind of like when you were mentioning doing the pre-sale. Mm-hmm. Even if you haven't mm-hmm. got everything all in place as you thought you had it, but you already identified how many folks you had that were interested in paying for, you know, these sponsorships. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's mm-hmm. this old school, and I'm not a huge Gary Vaynerchuk fan, but you know, he does have some gems, I think. And there's this really old video of him. He's talking about selling sponsorships, and he literally cold calls. He picks up the phone.
Oh, I remember.
He calls
this
random, like, wine company or beer company or something, and says, "Hey, I'm thinking of starting a beer website. If I started a beer website and I had 5,000 beer enthusiasts coming to my site next month, would you be willing to buy some advertising?" And his whole goal was to get people to say yes to that. And if he got enough people to say yes, then he knew he could start a website that in a few months would actually be making some money. The problem with content businesses is that for so long, and I did this too. Now, if I were to do it today, I would do it completely differently. But for so long, we just create, and we don't. And there's this word that I hate that we use in blogging or in content, in podcasts, whatever, called monetize. And it's like, monetize just means you didn't think about how you were going to make money when you started this thing. It means you now have this thing that makes no money.
Yeah.
And you need to figure out how to somehow make money, or you can't keep doing it. You know what I mean? Yep. And so I hate that word, because all that shows is that you didn't actually start a business. You started some sort of audience growing hobby that you now want to try to make some money from. And so to build a content business, yes, you're spot on. You start with the businesses that will be actually paying you. You figure out who's willing to pay you money, and then you build a thing that brings in that money, and you mm-hmm. build systems around that.
Yeah, and you can make it better after, you know, after you start making money. I mean, crap.
Totally.
I did that exact same thing. I know what video you're talking about, Preston.
Yes.
And I did that same thing with Dripify. And except my version was like via Facebook messages and emails and text messages. However, yeah. I got money, And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, okay, I got this money. Now I actually have to create this product. And it took me 6 months to create it. But and it was ugly. I will tell you, it was ugly when I first launched it. And but you know what? Like it was still functional, and it's what people wanted. Mm. And then I made it better over time. And so like if you were to look at Drippified now versus a year ago, like it looks completely different.
And everyone does that, right? Yeah. They start with a minimum viable product that seems cool at the time, but it's awful a year later or 5 years later. Everybody does that. That's just how it works, because you get feedback from customers and then you make adjustments so that you continue to make more money.
Interesting. And, you know, I think this is also valuable for me to hear, because I've talked to, other colleagues I've worked with in the past who have done freelance work. And there's a thought that I've heard from some of them that focusing to a service-based or a product is going to be a better way to, bring in consistent income. But hearing you guys experience it, it's kind of forcing me to step back and rethink on, just because you're not having to go out and, find a new client for, a website or a web application, there's other challenges that we have to consider, like, is this business viable? How would you make income from this business? What do you need to do to make that? And, what level of detail do you need to start with? So this is something that, I hadn't thought of sufficiently. So hearing you guys mention these experiences you've gone through is invaluable. I appreciate
it
much.
Good. I'm glad it's been helpful. I'd love to know what you think are your next steps in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months. What actions are you going to take to move this all forward?
I think next steps I'm going to do is actually reach out to some of those potential businesses and explain if, if we had this particular service where we can bring in tourists from here, and we are offering you this package where you can be highlighted on, in this particular magazine or this particular website, would you be willing to pay this much to have these customers notice your services, or something along those lines, as I heard you guys mention, to go ahead and start reaching out to the businesses and get a feel for if this is something they'd actually even be interested in being a part of.
Yeah.
And then use that data to start building out what needs to be done to make that happen. Like you say, the minimum scale.
Well, the cool thing is you can literally, as soon as you get off this podcast, you could do that right now, right? Mm-hmm. You could do right that now. Today.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And we'd love to check back in with you in a couple months.
Oh, definitely.
Too, and see how that's going. Maybe hold you accountable a little bit so that that someone's going to be checking in on you in a few months.
Yep.
Because I think it can be done. Audience first businesses are going to take longer. They're going to take a little more upfront work, in my experience, even when done right and done well and done with money in mind first. But the best time to start is today if you haven't started already. So I think, like Clay said, you can hang up from this call and you can make your first two or three calls, and we can follow up in a few months. Cool. And hopefully you'll have, 20 companies that say, once you get this thing up and running, I'm on board.
Okay. Yeah. I look forward to that. I'm going to definitely get into it. So this is nice motivation for me too.
Great. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Rodney, thank you, Preston. Thank you, Clay. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it, Rodney. Freelance the Founder is a production of Millo. You can discover more business building resources for freelancers at millo.co.
And you can learn more about Clay's business and level up your entrepreneurial skills by visiting getdrippify.com.
Freelance the Founder is distributed by The Podglomerate. You can check out their other great podcast at thepodglomerate.com.
And the theme music was produced by Joaquim Carude. You can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or by searching Freelance to Founder in your favorite podcast player.
We'd love to have you join us on an upcoming episode. To learn more, visit freelancetofounder.com.
That's all for this week's episode. Until next time, keep up the hard work, and we'll see you soon.
See ya.